I want you to read this passage of scripture with me. It was in my heart, and even through the night last night, occasionally I would kind of rouse up a little bit and praying, and God was speaking to my heart about this. This is such a wonderful portrait of the life of our Lord and of His passion and the desire He had for people to go to heaven. I want you to understand that you don't have to talk God into saving you. You don't have to talk the Lord into saving you. He loved you with an everlasting love. He loved you before the foundation of the world. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and He wants to save you. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And you say, Brother Billy, I've been so wicked. It makes no difference. He's able to save to the uttermost all that call upon Him. He'll save any person, anytime, anywhere that genuinely turns with all their heart to the Lord. Now, I want to read this passage of Scripture because it so wonderfully portrays to me the heart of our Lord and the pattern that you and I ought to follow. Notice what it said in Matthew chapter 9. Look at verse 35. I didn't give you the verse. Verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said He unto His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. Will you bow with me for prayer? Our Heavenly Father, I've come this morning to be obedient to You. And I pray, God, You'd forgive me, purge my mind and heart of anything ought not to be there. And I pray, God, for Your anointing and power. I pray, God, that You'd speak to me and through me what You want to say to Your people. In the strong name of Jesus, who is Lord, our Father, I plead the blood of Christ over this group here in the building and in the media audience. And I pray, God, You'd speak to our hearts afresh. Oh, God, I pray for that compassionate heart. Our Father, I think of the testimony of the Apostle Paul, where he says, my heart's desire in prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And Father, I pray, God, that You would give us such a compassion, such a burden for every person that we know, for our family and our friends, our work associates, schoolmates, our neighbors, our family. And God, I pray, God, for all those that we meet, that God will have a consciousness that, Lord, we may be the only person who ever witnessed to them. And I pray, God, the Holy Spirit would speak. Lord, thank You now for what You're going to say and do. God, I pray, God, for Your anointing. I pray, God, You'd make everything real and fresh to me. Help me, Lord, be yielded to You, and I'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you were here on last Sunday night, and we had a good friend of Brother Danny Wood, myself here, Brother Jimmy Fowler. Brother Jimmy is 80 years old, and I went off fishing with him some time ago, and he got the fellowship with him, had a great time there and back, poured down rain on us the whole time. But God just really put our hearts together as He shared. He retired 25 years ago, and he said he is now a full-time witness for Christ. He said he started doing that several years ago, passing out tracts, and he makes it a point. That's his daily routine. Wherever he goes, he gives out tracts, he speaks a word to people, and God's helped him, give him boldness to be able to do that. He is not offensive. He's not in your face. If you were here, he said most of the time, he said if you can get them laughing, they'll listen. And that's exactly what he does. But, you know, he said something, I don't know if you heard it or not, but he said in 25 years of giving out gospel tracts, he'd never had one Christian to offer him a gospel tract. I was talking to Brother Roy Rigdon and telling him about the service, my preacher friend up in Asheville, and he's been preaching about the same length of time I have. And I told him what Jimmy said, that in all the years, 25 years of passing out tracts, he'd never had one person to offer him a tract. Didn't know whether he was saved or not, you know, never spoke to him, everything. And Roy said, you know what? In 50 years of preaching, Everywhere I've ever been around the world, he said, not one person has ever approached me and given me a gospel tract. Not one person has ever spoke to me about whether I'm saved or not. Now, I'm just curious. How many in here this morning, you would say that somebody has at some point in time walked up to you or somewhere and given you a gospel tract? I'm just curious. Would you raise your hand? Wow, there's a good many of you in here that somebody's given you a gospel tract. But you know what? The odds are that most of the time we walk by hundreds of people every day, saved or lost, and we don't know whether they're saved or lost or not. And the thing is, we have responsibility. Just quickly, let me share this with you once again that God's laid on my heart. I want you to notice in the first place, in this little story that I've got here, there's some wonderful things. There is in this story a healer, and then there is the harvest, and then there are the helpers. I'll just do that real quick. Look what it says about our Lord. The Lord Jesus, the Bible said, he went about all of their cities and all of their villages, preaching and teaching and healing, all of them. Notice the first thing, it says he went. I was thinking about what it says in the gospel. He said, go into all the world. I heard Brother Charles Searle say on the radio not long ago, he said, remember this. He said, the first two letters of the gospel spell go. Go. He went. I like to go fishing. I talk to fellas about going fishing. But you know what? I found out 100% of the time, if you don't go, you don't catch any. I've never caught one sitting on the couch. I've never caught one out in the car anywhere. If you don't go fishing, you don't catch fish. And if you don't go witnessing, if you don't give out tracts, you won't win anybody to Christ. The Bible said Jesus went, you and I are to go. But then it said he went to all of the cities and villages. And here's our responsibility. Paul said in that text, and that's what we're really thinking about, preaching about again this morning. I probably will tonight. But Paul said this, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone day and night with tears. Everyone, every day, day and night with tears. And Jesus went about all of them. That means it doesn't make any difference to him if it's a rich community or a poor community, whether it was a white community or a black community, doesn't matter what color they were, their background, every one of them, he died for the whole world. And you and I have that responsibility to go to every one of them and share that gospel. It says that he was teaching and preaching and healing. He was concerned about their physical needs. It was genuine with him. He wasn't interested in just counting numbers. He had a real concern with them. And preaching has to do with proclaiming the truth, preaching the gospel to every creature, telling the truth, but then teaching as well. And that involves time and patience. Brother Gary was talking about the Bible Institute, and it meets on Tuesday night, Old Testament survey, New Testament survey, Bible doctrine, and you're there from 7 o'clock to about 10 o'clock at night, have breaks in between. But there's a lot of study goes on through the week. It's a daily thing. The church at Berea, they search the scriptures daily to see if those things be true. And so it'll get you in the New Testament pattern of daily studying the Word of God if you get in the Bible Institute. But it's the teaching of the Word of God that causes us to grow. It equips us for our service. It, like Brother Gary said, it helps us. When the Lord Jesus Christ was tempted of the devil, every time he quoted scripture, he's omniscient. The devil would have been no match for him mentally. He is omnipotent. He has all the power in the world. He could incinerate and annihilate Satan if he wanted to. He had all the power, but he chose to war against Satan with the Word of God. And so the Lord Jesus Christ taught the Bible. He taught the Word of God, taught the truth to them. And my dear friend, you and I have a responsibility that when people get saved, particularly, we need to teach them the Word of God. Thank God for our Sunday school. Thank God for our WANA program. Thank God for the teaching ministers of this church. But you need the Word of God to grow by. But Jesus had that burden to do that. And he said he healed all their diseases. He went everywhere and done all those things. But now notice what it says in the next place there in that passage of Scripture. It said this, Jesus went about all of the cities and villages teaching and preaching in the synagogue and the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease among the people. Watch verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Jesus had a great compassion for them. He's God incarnate in human flesh. But he looked at them and he said, look at this great multitude. He was moved with compassion. The word compassion is a compound word. Com means with, passion means suffer. He suffered with them. He looked at them and where you and I would condemn them, he had compassion on them. He had a burden for them and he desired for them to be saved. He looked at them with compassion. He looked at them and saw the multitude. He was incarnated in a human body. And while he was God and he was still omniscient, and while he was still omnipotent, and while he does indicate that he knows what's going on in heaven and hell and earth all at the same time, he knew there was a need. And he talked about the harvest. He said, he notice what it says, verse 36, and when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And he said unto his disciple, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the labor is a few. When he saw the multitude, he saw them in two different ways. He saw them, first of all, as sheep. And he said they fainted. They were fainted. And when you study the Word of God, David was a shepherd, and David said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? That fainting that he's talking about is the equivalent of like a sunstroke or absolute total fatigue. And those sheep, if they would get out and wander away from the shepherd, they'd get into the brambles and the briars, and they'd get thorns in their wool. They'd get coated with dirt and matter. And that wool coat that they wore, it would insulate them in the daytime against the heat, and it would keep them warm, insulate them at night to keep them warm. But when you take and that wool was matted with all of the debris of the world, all the sticks and all the mud and everything else, it held that heat into them. And in the heat of the day, they became dehydrated. And that's why he said in Psalm 23, my cup runneth over. Because they have no shepherd. They're dehydrated. And their body temperature elevates. And they try to find a cool place and they get somewhere and they literally are having a heat stroke. But they're so weakened by that when they get down, then they try to get up, they can't get up. All they can do is paw the ground because of the heavy weight of all the debris in the world of the world that's on them. And they'll lay there and die. They're cast down. They can't get up. They're helpless. And here, when Jesus looked out, he saw people like sheep who had all the weight of the world, the weight of their sin on them. They were down and couldn't get up. And all they could do was paw and fight and struggle. And yet they die in that case because they were helpless and couldn't get up. And then he said this, they not only faint, but they're scattered. You see, sheep don't have any means of defense. They're helpless against the predators. And if they ever got separated away from the flock, you watch National Geographic and all those, you watch the lions and they are powerful and strong animals, but they never attack in the middle of the herd. They always catch the stragglers. They always catch the little ones. They catch those that are outside, away from the protection of the group. My dear friend, when they get scattered, get away from the shepherd, they can't defend. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. But that sheep that gets away from the shepherd has no defense. Doesn't have the shepherd to protect him. He's vulnerable to every type of prey. And a lost sinner, a boy, a girl, a man, a woman who doesn't know Christ, Jesus looked at him. He said, they're like sheep. And he said they are scattered, and thus they're prey. At any moment, the devil could plunge them into hell because they're not in that protective area with the shepherd. But he says this, they have no shepherd. And sheep don't have a sense of direction. They don't know how to get back. They are cast down, the weight of the world, the weight of the sins on them, and they're dying. And they're scattered and all the forces of hell can come against them. They are just vulnerable to any attack. But more than that, they don't know how to get back. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He's the shepherd. He's the way home. But my dear friend, he looked at them and he said, they don't know how to get home. They don't know which way to go. They don't know how to get back. And thus they must have somebody to go after them. But not only does he describe them, lost people, as sheep, he describes them as a harvest. And he said, look, he said, the harvest is plenteous. The harvest. Harvest is planned. It's not a volunteer wild onion here and a dandelion over there. This is something that's planned. It's something that is important. A harvest. You harvest the grain. You harvest the corn. You harvest the beans. It's planned. Somebody planned that. And he had a plan before the foundation of the world that he'd come to seek and to save that which is lost, to give his life a ransom. This is valuable. It's precious. Not only planned, but this harvest is precious to him. People, pine cones drive them crazy. I grow a good crop of pine straw and pine cones around my house and nut grass. I can grow that like crazy. But the tomatoes, and you can come over, if you want to come over, you come over and pull all the nut grass you want. I'll give you every bit of it. In fact, I'd give you all the pine straw and all the pine cones you want, because I don't put much value in that. But those few little tomatoes, I'd be glad to share with you, but, I didn't get but two so far this year, except for what people brought me. It's precious. And the harvest is precious to him. You say, Brother Billy, how precious is it? He said, if a man gained the whole world and lose his own soul, what profit is it? You know what he's saying? He said, the value of one soul is more than all the riches of the whole world. And I'll tell you how valuable it is. It is so valuable that we're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus. That's how precious that harvest is. And so when you look out there and you see that lost sinner, you see him or her, you see the sin in their life, you see their physical appearance, Jesus saw them. He saw them differently than we do. He saw them as sheep who were fainting. He saw them as sheep who were scattered. He saw them as sheep who had no shepherd. He saw them as a harvest that was planned and precious, but he also saw them as a harvest that was perishing. Whenever that fruit gets ripe, it has to be picked. Whenever the grain gets ripe, it's time to harvest it. And if you leave it in the field too long, it'll mold or be destroyed. It's perishable. And he looked at the souls of men and women, boys and girls, and he said, they're perishing. They're perishable. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. They're perishable. That harvest's not going to last forever. Somebody needs to get it. I wonder how soon your best friend will die. I wonder how soon your classmate or your coworker or your neighbor or the little girl who waits on you at the dollar store or the food line or the Bojangles. Do you ever think about that you see them and you see their face, that they may not be there the next time you go by? I don't know how many hundreds of times, thousands of times, I guess, in 20 years I've been to Wake Hospital. There was a lady that worked there at the receptionist desk as you go into Wake. Certain shifts, different ones of them work, but I remember her, seeing her more than any of the rest of them. And I spoke to her every time, and I'll be honest with you, I never knew her name. She knew I was a preacher, but I spoke to her, and I did talk to her about her life and knew that she was saved and she had a grandson who'd been called to preach, and she talked to me about that one day a long time. And then I went in one time, she said, I'm fixing to retire. You won't see me for a while. And I said, well, I hope you have a wonderful retirement. It was not hardly 2 weeks. It didn't seem like, I don't remember exactly how long it was, but I walked in and as I walked up to the receptionist desk, of course she wasn't there, and there was a picture of her and a little rose laying down there. And I thought as I saw it, I said, that's pretty nice. They remembered her retirement. And I mentioned to her about her, and I said, you know, I never did even know her name. I said, I spoke to her sometime two or three times a week, and I didn't even know her name. And he said, yes, she was a wonderful lady. And I said, well, how's she doing in retirement? She said, oh, she died. I said, what? I said, I thought this was in honor. No, they said, that's an honor. We remember her death. She died. I said, was she sick? She said, no. Didn't nobody know if anything was wrong with her. But she died like 2 weeks after she retired. Not a very old lady. Just died. And I wonder when will be the last time. The harvest is perishable. But notice what he said about the helpers. He said this, pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest, he'd send forth laborers. Laborers. You know, if you go looking at want ads, there's all kind of jobs in there. You got to have 10 years experience or, you know, this degree or that degree or so on, all type of skilled and all type of thing. But if you look closely enough, you'll see probably most of the time in big, bold, black letters, the word laborers wanted. Construction helper, somebody on this job, that job, just a helper. Quite often you even see something like this. No experience necessary, we'll train, just need laborers. Laborers. Do you understand what he's asking for? He's asking for laborers. I looked it up in Webster's dictionary. I wanted to look at it in my big dictionary yesterday, and actually, to be honest with you, it slipped my mind. I looked it up in a smaller dictionary I had in my office this morning. It said, laborers are those who are skilled or unskilled, whose responsibility mostly is physical work or physical exercise, the way it was listed. It is those who are just willing to work. Work. Those who are willing just to be obedient and serve the Lord. Doesn't need any loafers. Doesn't need any leaders. Doesn't need any lookers. He's just looking for some laborers. He's looking for somebody who's willing to work. Somebody who's willing to do something for him and share the gospel. Don't have to know a lot. I've shared a lot of things with you about experiences, about different ones who were unskilled and people that got saved. Most of you have heard the name D.L. Moody. Edward Kimball, you may not remember, but if you've studied much church history, you'd know him. Edward Kimball was a Sunday school teacher. And he had a group of little boys in his Sunday school class, or young men, actually. One of them's name was D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody was a great evangelist. The Bible, history says, Christian church history says he took the American continent and Europe in both hands and shook them toward God, and millions of souls fell out and went to heaven. D.L. Moody, a great evangelist. He was led to the Lord by a Sunday school teacher. I don't know how many people Edward Kimball ever led to the Lord, but that Sunday school teacher led D.L. Moody to the Lord. I was reading some time ago a biography of a preacher, and there's something to do with church history. And he said it had a copy of a little note he'd written back to his wife. He sent her a wire. And he said, very little response in the revival in such and such a town in England. He said, only one young man was saved. His name was C.H. Spurgeon. Only one saved. I don't know if you know it or not, but his name was Charles Haddon Spurgeon. His materials, his sermons, he is the world's, historically, the widest published author of any kind of material. Charles Spurgeon's material has been published more than William Shakespeare, more than anything else. Sermons, thousands of them, millions of them literally published. He pastored the great Metropolitan Tabernacle in London, England, and other churches prior to that. But in London, England, he had over 5,000 people attending every Sunday. Had 300 people under his pulpit down in the basement praying every Sunday when he preached. And that preacher went and preached a revival, and he said, not much response, just one young man, C.H. Spurgeon. One. You think about, but just need somebody who will go and labor and who will do the job. When I was pastoring down in Georgia, you remember the name Danny Henley. Brother Danny went home to be with the Lord not long ago. You heard me preach on the birds are still singing. Brother Danny Henley and his wife Susan, drove 36 miles one way to church every morning. He was a big farmer every Sunday morning. He was a big farmer, lived a long ways away from my church, but he drove 36 miles every morning, drove back home after service, drove 36 miles every night. And every Wednesday night, every night of camp meeting, every night of revival, came to everything. Danny had a great big farm. And when God was dealing with my heart many years ago about this passage of Scripture, I talked to him one day and I said, Danny, can you tell me what kind of laborers you're looking for? I said, I see them all up and down through Valdosta and, you know, they want to work, this, that, and the other. And he said, they don't want to work. They don't want to work. And he said, I've tried some of them. He said, you know what I'm looking for? He said, if I'm looking for labor, there's just two or three things that I want about them. I said, he said, number one, I want one who will show up. He said, I've hired people. They really want to work, really want to work. And he said, they'll work a week or they'll work till they get the first paycheck and I don't ever see them again. He said, I've worked some of them. They work two or three days and I don't ever see them again. He said, but occasionally you'll get one and they show up every day, every morning, on time, ready to work. And they'll stay with me until we get through. He said, my number one qualification is for labor is that they just show up. I wonder this morning if the Lord Jesus Christ would walk in the building and say to Benson Grove Baptist Church, to all our friends here in the building, I want you to look out here on this harvest. It's plenteous, it's perishing, it's precious to me. And I need some folk who'll help me to give out CDs, give out tracts, use every means you can to get the gospel out. I just need some laborers. You don't have to have a Bible degree. You don't have to have any kind of credentials. I just need some people who will show up and go. Danny said, all I'm looking for is somebody to show up. Number two, he said, I'm looking for somebody that doesn't know more about farming than I do. He said, I've been doing this all my life. He said, invariably, he said, I'll hire a guy who's never done any farming at all within a week. He knows better how to do it than I do. All I want him to do is do exactly what I want him to do and do it the way I want him to do it. He said, that's what I'm looking for in a laborer. Somebody that doesn't know how to do it, doesn't think they know how to do it, and they just wouldn't let me show them and do just exactly what I want them to do. That's what he's looking for. You don't have to have any experience. Just show up and be willing to do exactly what he wants you to do. He'll show you. And then Brother Danny Henley stood there for a few minutes. And he said, Brother Billy, there's one other thing. I sure wished I could find somebody. And he looked out and over here he's got a big soybean field. He's got a nice home here and all kind of barns and shelters around. Soybean field here, corn field down there. And he looked across this place and he said, I've lived here all my life. He said, me and my wife Susan came here. He said, this is our family farm. He said, I spent many an hour here. And he said, I absolutely love it. I love it. And he said, my son Ty, he's following up behind me. Ty at that time was about a high school student. He said, he'll farm it after I'm gone. And he said, Billy, you know what I wish I could find? He said, I wish I could find somebody that loved this farm as much as I do. They'd be a good laborer. If Jesus could find somebody that would love souls as much as he does, that would love the souls in Johnson County, McGee's Crossroad, boys and girls, men and women, red and yellow, black and white, if I could just find somebody who loved them as much as I do, they'd be a good laborer. I wonder, would you be a good laborer today? As we think about these tracts down here, you don't have to know how to do anything. You can hand it to people. You can just be very cordial and say, I've got something like for you to read. I'd like to invite you to church. When you get time, will you read this? Will you just and put them in letters, leave them places, give them out? Laborers together. Laborers together. I thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing the gospel and being a witness for Christ. When you think about the fact that what you do, something so simple as a gospel tract. I mentioned some time ago that I had, several years ago, I'd got a little booklet from a tract company that printed tracts. It's called The Trail of the Tract. and it told testimony after testimony, testimony of so many ways and unusual circumstances. Even one guy was snorkeling or something, and he saw a oyster or a scallop or something waving, and he went down there, and it was a track, and he got it out and got back on board his boat and let it dry out. When he read it, God dealt with his heart and he got saved. No telling, just little things like that. No telling what God could do if you just be obedient to Him. But the thing that most of all will mean this, that you've been faithful to Jesus, that you've done what He wanted you to do, and that somewhere down the road there might be some man, some woman, some boy, some girl to get saved, and you'll get to see him in heaven. You may never know that song that LaVon sings and somebody else sings. I can't miss any of mine, but it's "Thank You for Giving to the Lord." Friend, you don't know me now, it says. You may not know me, don't remember, but thank God for those you lead to the Lord, for those that get saved. Will you bow your heads in prayer this morning? I'm praying that God, the Holy Spirit, will just speak to our hearts as we think about this passage of Scripture. The Lord Jesus Christ, the pattern of His life was that wherever He went, He had a burden. I see Him by the pool of Bethesda. I see Him about the woman with the issue of blood. He saw people that had need. He saw people that were hurting. He saw Zacchaeus up the sycamore tree. Everywhere He went. And you and I need to be sensitive to the fact that all around us are men and women, boys and girls that need to know Christ. Laborers. He's just looking for some laborers. Pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest. And for those who are saved, I'd encourage you this. Number one, pray. Pray. Pray that God will raise up more workers and pray that God will raise up more people. By the way, I mentioned to those who were here on Wednesday night that Miss Shalina had called me, and that made our total 814, I believe. And then during the week, I talked to another person who said, "Brother Billy, I never got to turn my number in, but I did visit and all." So right now, as far as I know, there were at least 824 doors that God's people knocked on in the month of July. I don't know how many people get saved because of the tracts we give out, or CDs, or the post on Facebook or internet, or letters or cards or personal witnesses. But I do know this. I want to be a faithful servant. I want not to have the blood of anybody on my hands. I don't think I have ever in a 3-year period could say what Paul said, "By the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone day and night with tears." But I'm trying my best to do better about that. I think more about it now. I hope maybe you do. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and eyes are closed. My dear friend, I want you to understand that God loves you. He saved you and gave you everlasting life. I would that God would use us. Just ask Him to use you. I'm not trying to put any kind of pressure on you. I just want you to be used of God, be blessed, to be a blessing. And what a joy it is. I tell you, the folk who came and went visiting, every time we talked about it, they were just rejoicing. People just enjoyed it. Once they got going, they just enjoyed it. This will be the same thing. Be a great thing to be a witness for Christ. Heavenly Father, I tried to obey You this morning. God, I believe You laid this message on my heart, and I pray, God, that, Lord, Your people respond. I pray, God, that, Lord, that there'd be some this morning who'd make a commitment that they're going to get a handful of tracts when they leave. They'll make sure they leave them when they leave a tip at the restaurant. They'll make sure they give them out to those they meet and speak to them. God, give them wisdom. Give them boldness to know what's the best way and how to do it. God, I know that some will be intimidated, and, Lord, any of us, all of us, Lord, some things are not comfortable for us, but God, I pray You'd help us be a witness for Christ. Lord, whatever means, whatever way, help us to get the gospel to as many people as we can that they might be saved. Now, we're not going to give a long invitation, but I'm just right now while we're praying, if God spoke to your heart in any way, I invite you to come. Brother LaVon, I'm going to ask you if you don't mind to sing one verse of that song this morning. Only trust Him. Will you trust Him? If you're not saved this morning, God wants to save you. If you're a Christian here this morning, you say, I remember what Brother Jimmy Fowler said. He said he prayed and asked God to help him to be able to witness, be able to pass out tracts. And God did it. He said, it's what God's done. That's how he started off talking the other night. And God will help you too. Will you be obedient? Maybe just come make a commitment to the Lord around the altar this morning. Maybe you have a burden or care or need. We want to help you, pray with you. Maybe you're lost this morning. You want to be saved. I invite you to come this morning, trust Christ. If God speaks to your heart, you come right now. I pray God will make it real to you. Be obedient to him. Do what he wants you to do. Will you do that?